Kids, come on up just really quickly. Really quickly. Zip, zip, zip. All right, Liam, way to go. Wow. Faster than a speeding bullet. Wonderful. Oh, great to see everybody here. Hey, there's kind of a fun commercial these days. You may have seen it. It's a guy sitting around with some kids around a table, and he always asks, what's better? You seen that commercial? Yeah, that's fun. So what's better, happy or sad?
Happy.
Oh, why do you say that?
Because you feel joyful.
Oh, because you feel joyful?
Because when you're sad, you feel lonely and no one would want to play with you.
Oh, because when you're sad, you're lonely and nobody wants to play with you.
Because if you're happy, it kind of just spreads and everybody else becomes happy.
Well, nice. It's like infectious, contagious. Happiness is contagious.
If you're sad, everybody's going to be sad. If you're happy, everybody's going to be happy and have fun.
Good, right. People around you kind of become like what you are, huh? So happy's better, but do we ever get sad?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do, don't we? So today, as we listen to Psalm 13, I want you to think about what we can learn about sadness and what is God's remedy for sadness. What's God's prescription, okay? See if you can get that from today's lesson. Head on back. Don't trip. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Psalm 13. We do get sad at times, and for some people, the holidays are an especially sad time. Maybe it's because we get nostalgic, we remember the past, or we miss someone that we've lost already. We do get sad. And Psalm 13 is a psalm, or a song, that David wrote when he was sad. You might even say he was depressed. And we see in Psalm 13 how David responded to that circumstance. Psalm 13 says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You can see right away that this psalm David wrote when he was sad. Verse 2 tells us that he had sorrow in his heart daily, or your translation might say he had sorrow in his heart all the day. It probably was both. Sorrow in his heart all day long, every day, and for day after day after day. He was sad. Maybe he was even depressed. And yet, in that state, David wrote a song. That's one thing he did when he was sad. He wrote songs. And this psalm, God has preserved for us, according to Romans 15:4, for our instruction, that we might be encouraged. And there are things for us to learn here in this psalm about sadness, so that, surprisingly, we might be encouraged. And we're going to look at two things here. First of all, we're going to look at the realities of sadness. The realities of sadness. What do we learn here about sadness itself? And then second of all, the remedy. The realities and the remedy for sadness. What are some things we can learn here about sadness itself? First of all, sadness is part of life, even for the godliest saints. Sadness is part of life even for the godliest saints. Now, David was a godly man. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 13:14 that he was a man, what? Do you know? After God's own heart. Which means what? It means that he had a heart like God's heart. He loved the things that God loves. He hated the things that God hates. You might think, therefore, that as a man after God's own heart, a man who knew the Lord as his shepherd, a man who knew what it meant to be close to God, you might think, well, he was probably happy all the time. But he wasn't. In fact, look at what he says here again, verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? David felt forgotten. How long will you hide your face from me? David felt abandoned. How long shall I take counsel in my heart or in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? David felt depressed. He felt sadness in his heart constantly. How long will my enemy be exalted over me? David felt defeated. Forgotten by God, abandoned by God. Deeply sorrowful and defeated. That's how David felt. And this isn't the only sad song that he wrote. There are many others. David apparently battled sadness, and some would say he battled depression throughout his life, off and on. And he wasn't the only one. If you look through the Bible, you find that Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Hannah, Nehemiah, Jeremiah, and most of the prophets in the Old Testament battled sadness, bouts of sorrow, or even depression. And what about Jesus? Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. But he was the man of sorrows, Isaiah 53 says, acquainted with grief. So what about you? Are you acquainted with grief? Quick show of hands, let's take a poll. How many of you have, you're already raising your hand. How many of you have battled with times of sadness? Almost everybody has. We've had those sad times. And so, learn this. Learn this. Sadness is a part of life, even for the godliest saints. You're not alone. David battled sadness too, and so did Jesus. So did Jeremiah. He was known as the weeping prophet, and Jesus the man of sorrows. Second reality about sadness, sadness can go on for a long time. Sadness can go on for a long time. Notice what David asks four times in a row. How long? How long? How long, O Lord? How long? Telling you what? It was long. He just doesn't know how long it's going to keep going. David had sorrow in his heart all day long for days. And when your days are filled with sadness, you know what happens? The days seem longer. The nights seem longer. Minutes turn into hours. Hours turn into days. Days turn into weeks. Even if you're sad just for a day, it seems like you've been sad forever. Now, it's not always that way, right? You spill a glass of milk, you're sad hopefully just for a moment. Your team loses the big game, you're sad hopefully just for a day or two. You preach a bad sermon, teach a bad lesson, you're sad maybe for the week or longer. But sadness can go on for a long time. You know, you break your arm or your leg on the slopes and you're sad for 6 weeks until you get the cast off. I remember one of our dear sisters telling me that she was in the grocery store and she saw a lady crying. And in an effort to help, she went over and she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Are you having a bad day?" And she said, "I'm having a bad life." What do you do with that? Sadness can go on for a long time. In fact, it can go on for so long that it seems like God has forgotten you. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? In David's mind, because clearly you've forgotten me for a long time now. You know what? That can happen. Had David really been forgotten by God? No. But it sure seemed that way. And it can be the same for you. Sadness is a part of life, even for the godliest saints, and it can go on so long that it seems like God has completely forgotten you. And you might say, well, why would or why does the Lord allow his children to suffer sadness for so long? Why would God do this? Why would he let David? Why would he let Jeremiah? Why would he let his son Jesus suffer so much sorrow? There may be many answers, but we know one of them from a psalm that we looked at 2 weeks ago. Psalm 11, verse 5. The Lord tests the righteous. Sadness is a test. Depression is a test. And the test question is, in whom do you trust? Where will you turn for deliverance from your sadness? Sadness is a part of life, even for the godliest saints. It can go on for a very long time. And third, it is a spiritual condition, though it may have physical effects. Sadness is a problem of the heart and of the soul, though your body too may suffer. It's a spiritual thing. Notice what David says, verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Where's the problem? David knows. It's in his heart. It's in his soul. It's inside. It's in his spirit. Sadness or depression is by definition a non-physical problem. Now, it can be caused by physical problems. Like I said, you break your leg, you become sorrowful. Well, it started with a physical problem, and now you have sadness. Or it can lead to physical problems. In Psalm 31, verse 9, David cries out to his soul doctor, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, I'm in trouble. My eye is wasting away with grief, yes, my soul and my body." Psalm 31, verse 9. So it can have physical effects. But at heart, it's a soul problem. It's a spirit problem. It's a heart problem. You know, if David were alive today and he came to you and said, "You know, friend, you know, sister, you know, brother, got sorrow in my heart daily." You might say, "Well, listen, go see my friend, Dr. Jones." So he goes to your friend, Dr. Jones, and Dr. Jones runs every test known to man. Blood and fluids and CAT and PET scans and everything. And at the end of it all, the doctor says, "I don't see anything. It's just not showing up. Look, here's the x-ray. You're a physical specimen. You're healthy." And you say, but I have a problem." "Well, I know." And so Dr. Jones might refer you to a soul doctor, Dr. Smith. And Dr. Smith may ask a lot of questions, and may give a diagnosis. "You know, you have APSD, acute prolonged sadness disorder." And the doctor may prescribe some medications. But you know what? Did David need that? He knows what he's got. Look what he says. "Having sorrow in my heart daily." That's what he's got. You know what, David? Here's what you've got. You got sorrow in your heart daily. "I know." Well, that's the diagnosis. David knows what he's got. And you know what? When you've got sadness, when you've got depression, you know what you have. You got sadness. The diagnosis doesn't get any better if you go see a specialist and he gives it a fancy term. You still have the same thing. It is a spiritual problem. And the question is, who knows how to deal with that? Who knows how to deal with your spirit? Who knows how to deal with your soul? Fourth reality is that sadness may be caused by many things. We don't always know what causes it. You see the word for sorrow in verse 2? "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow," yagon, "in my heart daily?" I don't know what yagon, that's the Hebrew word. But if you look at that word throughout the Bible, it's used with a few other words like grief and anguish of soul. And if you look at those three, sorrow, grief, and anguish of soul, you learn a lot about sadness and its causes. For example, in Genesis 6:6, you remember who was sad? Who was having deep sadness in Genesis 6:6? God. God was grieved over the sinfulness of man. He was sorry, saddened that he had made man on the earth, and was grieved in his heart. And the cause of sadness may be sin, your own, like it was for David in Psalm 31, or someone else's, somebody else's sinning against you, or you just may be saddened by the state of affairs in your nation, just by so much sin that you see around you. Sin is a cause. Death and dying, that's a cause for sadness. In Genesis 42:38, Jacob tells his sons, if Benjamin is lost too, he'd already lost Joseph, right? He thinks he's already lost Joseph, and he's sad about that. He says, if Benjamin is lost too, you'll bring my gray hair down to the grave with sorrow, meaning sorrow will be the death of me. I'll be so sad, it'll kill me. Why? If I lose my son. Death and dying can be the cause of sorrow. I remember that a lady in church here called me up one day and said that her son, at age 10, came to the realization that we all die. And he couldn't stop crying. He was so sad about the fact that everybody dies, he just couldn't get over it. And by the grace of God, through some meetings and some counseling, he got over it. But death and dying are a cause of sadness. Another cause for sorrow is rebuke. Rebuke, Exodus 33:4. God rebuked the people of Israel, calling them stiff-necked, and they were filled with sorrow, filled with sadness. Ever sad that somebody rebuked you? They say that Martin Luther struggled with bouts of sadness, and one day his wife walked in black clothing and a veil, you know, funeral garb. And Martin Luther looks up and he says, "Who died?" And she says, "God." And he became angry. "God most certainly has not died." And she said, "Then why are you acting as if he did?" She rebuked him. I don't know if he was sadder or better after that. I don't know the end of the story, but his wife felt like he was acting as if God was dead. These are causes of sadness. The reality is it may be caused by many things. We don't always know what. Sin, death and dying, rebuke, disappointment. Remember Hannah, 1 Samuel 1? She was sorrowful for years. Why? She wanted a son, but she had none because the Lord had closed her womb. Not only that, her husband had a second wife, and that wife was having children, and that wife was provoking Hannah. I've got kids. And you thought you had troubles, right? Hannah can't have any children. Her husband's got another wife, and she's causing her grief. On top of all that, remember her husband, Elkanah? He didn't understand. Do you remember why he didn't understand his wife's grief? I like this one. He said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why are you grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" In other words, that's what I say to my wife. "Honey, why are you sad? You've got me." That's what Elkanah said. Men just don't get it. And probably she was even sadder. What else causes sorrow? Nehemiah was sad over the state of his nation. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. People are saddened by government oppression, Psalm 107, verse 39. Parents are grieved by their foolish children, Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17:21 says, "The father of a fool has no joy." That's sadness. Proverbs 17:25 says, "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him." And do you know that shepherds grieve over the state of their sheep? "For the brokenness of my people, I am broken," Jeremiah 8:21. "Dismay has taken hold of me." And of course, there are other causes. Illness, loss of a loved one. I know someone in this flock who lost a pet and was deeply grieved over that. Regret, failure, change of life, side effects of medications, etc., etc. What's the reality? Sadness has many causes. We don't always know what. And you know what? That's the way it is with me. When I'm sad, I think, why am I sad? Why am I sad? And you know what? David rebukes his own soul one time saying, "Why are you sad, O my soul? hope in God. What is your problem? He's talking to his own soul. Fifth reality about sadness. Well, let me ask you. Is sadness a sin? Anxiety is. And worry, right? Because we're commanded, do not worry. And you might think that sadness is a sin because the Bible commands rejoice, but the command to rejoice does not prohibit sadness. Sadness, fifth reality, is not a sin. It is not a sin. Now, it may be caused by sin, and it may lead you to sin because you look for a way out that is not pleasing to God. But sadness in and of itself is not a sin. Jesus was sad, but he never sinned. Sadness is not a sin. The Spirit of God is not saying in Psalm 13 or in the other lament psalms, the Spirit of God is not saying, ha, look at how David sinned by being sad. What the Spirit of God is saying is, look at how David suffered sadness and look at what he did. Look at what he did to be delivered from it. And so, let's turn now to the remedy for sadness. We've looked at some realities about it. What is the remedy? What did David do? To where, to whom, to what did he turn? Why don't we start with what he didn't do? What did David not do? Where did he not turn? Let's just make a little list. Alcohol. Did David here or anywhere else in Scripture turn to excessive drinking as a way to escape or drown his sorrows? No. You won't find him turning to alcohol. How about drugs? Whether prescription, over the counter, psych, or other medications, recreational or medicinal, Colorado legalized substances. Is there any evidence here or anywhere else that David turned to that? You'll find none. How about suicide? No. You don't see David here or elsewhere trying to kill himself, jump off of bridges or cliffs. How about shopping sprees? Was this the way that David dealt with his sadness and sorrow? I know, I'll go to the Citadel, I'll just blow it all, run up the credit card, and I'll feel better. No. I mean, you know, maybe he did. There's just no evidence in Scripture that he did that. How about gambling? Did he go to the Strip? Vegas? Plunk it all down on blackjack? No. How about this one? Did David turn to the counsel of the ungodly? Did he go to, say, a doctor or a specialist who doesn't know God and who would tell you that God is not sufficient for you to deal with your sadness? Did David turn to the ungodly? No. Why do I make that list? Because do you know where many people turn today for relief from sadness? Alcohol, drugs, medications, suicide, shopping, gambling, and the ungodly. Why? Why is that where people turn? Here's why. Because happiness really is better than sadness, just like the kids said. And when we're sad, we want to get out of it. We don't want to stay in that state. And in an effort to escape the sadness, we are tempted to turn not to our soul doctor, but somewhere else. But here's the question. What is the truth? What is the truth? Because the truth is what matters. The truth is, sadness is part of life, even for the godliest saints. And sadness can go on for a long time, so long that it seems like God has forgotten you. And sadness may be caused by many things. You may not even know what causes it. But sadness is a spiritual problem, a problem of the heart and the soul, and there is only one in the universe who really knows your heart and soul, and who can really solve your heart and soul troubles. And therefore, the one you ought to turn to is the Lord. That's the truth. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Well, the answer is not you. And therefore, the worst thing you could possibly do in a time of sadness or depression is follow your heart or follow some other human's heart. But there is an answer to that question. In fact, I saw one or two of you wording the answer to that question. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What's the answer? I, the Lord, very next verse, I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the mind. That's what your sadness is, a test by the Lord of the mind. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And you know what else the Lord says in Jeremiah 17? Cursed is the man who trusts in man, whose heart departs from the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. What did David do when he had sorrow in his heart all the day? He turned to the Lord. That is the Spirit's remedy. That's his RX. That's his prescription. Call upon the Lord in the day of trouble, and he will deliver you. Psalm 50, verse 15. That's what David did. He turned to the Lord. But let's be more specific so that you know what it looks like to turn to the Lord in sadness. What did David do specifically? Number one, he called upon the Lord. Right? He called upon the Lord. How long, O Lord? How long? How long? How long? He asks four times in verses 1 and 2. And then he says in verse 3, notice, verse 3, consider, that means doctor, consider my case. Hey, consider my case, God. Examine my case. He's bringing his case of spiritual depression before God. Consider my case. I'm in line, Lord. Look at my case. And hear me, Lord. Hear my prayers to you. David had been praying for a long time. Hear my prayer and notice what he's asking for. Enlighten my eyes. You know what that means? Show me the way I should go. How do I move forward? How do I go forward from here? That's what he's asking. Lord, I don't see how to move forward. It's like I'm in the dark. It's like you've forgotten me. It's like you've turned your face away. What do I do? How do I move forward? That's what David's asking. Call upon the Lord. What else is he doing to turn to the Lord in his time of need? Take counsel into your soul. Take counsel into your soul. Notice what he says in verse 2. How long shall I, literally it says, how long shall I keep on putting counsel into my soul? See the word take there? It's the idea of putting something somewhere, like putting ointment on a wound. And it's used in Proverbs of applying the word of God. How long shall I keep putting the ointment where it's needed, but it's not working? Yet, David kept putting the counsel of God into his soul. He keeps meditating on God's word. Is that wise? Oh, blessed is the man. Remember that verse? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands not in the path of sinners, who sits not in the seat of the scornful. What does he do when he's in time of sadness or depression? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, in his counsel, he meditates day and night. David was taking the counsel of God into his soul constantly, but it's not working yet. And he's just saying, Lord, I've been taking counsel into my soul. I'm going to keep on taking counsel into my soul. But how long do I have to keep doing that and still have sorrow in my heart all the day? That's what he's asking. What do you do? Call upon the Lord. Keep on taking counsel into your soul. Third, remember Jesus Christ. What do you do when you're sad, when you're sorrow? When you're... Remember Jesus Christ. Where do you get that? Well, notice verse 3. He says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God, enlighten my eyes. What's the danger? Lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I've prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Listen, the enemy, when you're sad or depressed, wants you to be moved away from your trust in the Lord alone. He wants you to be moved away so that you'll trust in man or you'll trust in you. He wants to see this depression or this sadness weaken your faith in the Lord. But God wants to use it to strengthen your faith in the Lord. And so notice what David does in verse 5. But, there's the turning point. The Lord has now answered his prayer. But, I've trusted in your mercy. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. He's remembering how the Lord had dealt bountifully with him. What am I saying to you? Remember how God has dealt bountifully with you. And what has he done to show you his love? God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not only that, Christ is risen up from the dead. Not only that, Christ is ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of God the Father even now, making intercession for us. And there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Neither death, nor life, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come. Lost track there. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so I say to you, do what David did. He remembered how bountifully God had dealt with him, and I say to you, remember Jesus Christ. Why do I use those words? Because that's what Paul told Timothy in his last words to him in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I think it is, he says, remember Jesus Christ. The seed of David, risen up from the dead. Remember him. Keep your mind on him. Keep going back to him and what he's done for us. I think that's in keeping with what David does here. He's remembering the Lord's abundance. How bountifully has he dealt with you? Well, later in Psalm 103, David says to his soul, soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't you forget all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's forgiven you all your iniquities. Can you say that to your soul? He's forgiven you all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. That's David telling his soul, look, soul, he's healed all your other soul diseases. He'll heal this one. Can you say that to your soul? When you're sad, he's healed all your other soul diseases. He'll heal this one. He redeems your life from destruction. That means he's redeemed the life of your soul from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, the same word used in Psalm 13. He crowns you with tender mercy and faithful love. And he satisfies your mouth with good things that your youth is renewed like the eagles. David tells his soul, look, soul, God has satisfied your yearnings before. He'll satisfy your yearnings again. So bless him. What is David doing here in verses 5 and 6? He's remembering Jesus Christ. And he's resolving to rejoice. Resolve to rejoice. I've trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. In other words, I'm not going to be sad tomorrow. In fact, I'm going to start singing now. I will sing to the Lord. Why? Because you feel good? No. Why? Because your circumstance changed? No. Why? Because you feel like singing? No, I don't feel like singing. Why would you sing to the Lord? Because he's dealt bountifully with me. That's why. So listen, beloved. The remedy for sadness is the Savior. The remedy for depression is the Deliverer. The way out, the way of escape, when your heart is filled with sadness all the day, is to turn to the Lord. Call upon him. Take his counsel into your soul. Remember Jesus Christ and resolve to rejoice, not because you feel like it, but because he has dealt bountifully with you. There is one exception to this rule, and that is if you don't know Christ. And so if you don't know Christ, you can't do any of those things. But I have good news for you. You're here today. And you're here today because God wants you to know Christ. He wants you to know who the one who can deliver you not just from sadness, but from sin. And not just from the penalty of sin, but from the presence and power of sin forever. There is a Savior. There is a Redeemer. His name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came into this world to save not the righteous, but sinners. And to call sinners to repentance. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, I call upon you today in the name of Jesus. Repent of your sin. Even now as we go to prayer, confess your sin to the Lord and say, Lord, deliver me. And he will deliver. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this psalm. Thank you for what your spirit teaches us here. I pray, God, for those who are battling sadness. I ask, God, that you would give them the strength to turn to you, to trust in you, and to wait upon you until you renew their strength. And I pray, Father, for any who are here today who are without Christ. I ask, God, that no one would leave here without him. That if there be one in this place today who is without the Lord and Savior Jesus, that you might be pleased to open their heart to receive the gospel. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.